Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Game, but we are in the midst of serious college football season. And in this time of year has always been tough, you know, between, okay, we got to pay attention to the NFL, you got to pay attention to college, you got the NBA cranking, and all that stuff. But college has just decided that we are going to do everything in a two-week stretch. And I've never understood it for the life of me. And when I have one of those questions that I don't understand, there is one text that I send, and one man who, for some reason, I still can't figure out, will get back to me and say, yes, Dan, I want to answer these questions with you. And that is Doug LeMaurice. You can watch him on Kings of the North. You can catch him on YouTube for that one. Monday through Thursday at noon, you can see that. There's a post-game Saturday episode after the day as well. Doug, how are you, my friend? It's been a minute.
I'm doing well. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and the family as well, man.
Thank you.
So let's start on the college football side of things that are happening on the on the field, and then I want to work my way off the field with you on all of this stuff. So Kings of the North, you've been saying forever with me that this college football thing is going to turn into the North versus the South, and this is how all of this is going to end up being. And the way that the Big Ten and the SEC have gone, you're pretty much right. If you got lotto numbers, I'd love to get those as well from you. But the way that this is going is it seems like the Ohio State Buckeyes have found their stride. And it seems like this offense finally is starting to look like the offense that we all thought was going to be there. What happened against Tennessee that made this click?
They got guys on the perimeter. They realize they need to win the game with their best players, which is their receivers and their running backs out in space. They can't let it come down to the fact they have some injuries on the offensive line. And if they can't block a defensive tackle, that means they can't move the ball. So it was, you know, the Michigan thing, I still do think they have a mental block with that. And so that was part of it. But they also figured out some football stuff against Michigan that we just need to get the ball outside. And so they remembered who they were, which is who they were the whole time. They just forgot about it, I think, for a week, last weekend in November.
It made me laugh watching that Michigan game, Doug, for that reason, because it felt like Ohio State in that game decided, oh, you think you can block and tackle us to hell? Well, watch us try to block and tackle you to hell. And they like kind of forgot that, like, hey, we've got, you know, Jeremiah Smith on the outside of Emeka Buka, and maybe that's not our best way to go about this, but boy, we can outrun you and outskill position you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first play against Tennessee, right, was like a little throw outside to Emeka Buka. They hit a throw to Trevion Henderson that first drive, and they ended it with a deep shot to Jeremiah Smith. Now, the other thing is Michigan had a very good defensive plan to try to take Jeremiah Smith away and bracket him, and Tennessee was more willing to leave him on an island. So it's not going to be that easy against Oregon. Oregon will have a better defensive plan than Tennessee did, but you've got to the thing we talked about was Ohio State let the Michigan game be played on Michigan's terms, and why would Ohio State let that happen? And then they made the Tennessee game be played on Ohio State's terms. And so as they move forward to Oregon, they put up a bunch of points on Oregon the first time. They just couldn't stop Oregon on the other side. But I do expect that we will see the offensive version of Ohio State that's them at least trying to dictate as opposed to letting the defense dictate to them.
It's a really good point, Doc. That's a really good point. You're right. They definitely decided we are playing Ohio State football game. That's a good point. Doug LaMaurice joining us. Kings of the North is the show that you can watch on YouTube. You catch the podcast as well along the way as it gets you ready for bowl season in between. All right, let's take a half step back from that one. Do we like the idea that they're taking the four big bowls and they're using them inside of the college football playoff?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I thought the first round was a success in having these giant home games and giant stadiums in front of passionate fan bases. Maybe the games weren't as tight as people wanted them to be. But I think those campus games showed us a new side of college football. There are people who said, if that's so good, why aren't we doing that again? Why isn't this round? Imagine if these games were at Oregon and at Georgia, right? Like Notre Dame's going to Georgia for that game. So I'd be in favor of that as well, but this Oregon-Ohio State game is going to be in the Rose Bowl. You know, it's going to be maybe the best game of the playoff, and it's going to be on that January 1 traditional setting. So if it's going to be a neutral site, if we're not going to have them be home games, and maybe they should be home games, but if it's not going to be home games, then have them be bowl stuff. I don't think have them randomly be, you know, in whatever, Orlando and Indianapolis, and, you know, I don't know. So I'm okay with it, but also it feels like the bowl system has been screwing up college football to some degree for the past 20 years, so I'd be okay without it. Do you like it? Do you like that these are bowls?
Buddy, I want these to be the same thing because I think it's not fair that, yes, you got the week off if you're Oregon, Arizona State, Boise State, Georgia. You got the week off, and, yeah, that's a benefit. Boy, would it not be awesome to see one of these games on the Smurf Turf in Boise with that place going nuts and the snow falling, or Eugene be absolutely packed with Oregon fans and Ohio State fans doing what Tennessee did to Ohio State fans. Like, that to me feels way more like college football and the way that this playoff needs to be than saying, like, okay, we're going to take this and then we'll put it in the Sugar Bowl. I say this too. I love the Rose Bowl, Doug. Like, I have many memories sitting there watching the Parade of Roses with my mom and then, you know, making my way to the game later on in the day. And, you know, it was like the one time that my mom paid attention to something that was involving football was the Rose Bowl Parade. Yeah. So, like, you know, I've got that memory that kind of coincides with it, but it just feels like after the success of these games and how loud those stadiums were and how packed they were, why can't we have that for the seeds that got the bye as well? Like, that's what always popped in my head, man.
I'd buy that. And I think we can see, I mean, they're going to tweak this. I even think by next year, we will not have the four best conference champs be guaranteed the top four seeds and the four byes. I think that's going to change. I think we're going to get to 14 instead of 12 probably sooner than later. So this is going to be adjusted in real time, and that would be one of the components, too. You know, the TV networks are going to have to decide, do they think that's a better product? Do they want to be at the home site instead of at the bowls? But they've got to be able to kick the bowls to the curb when they need to, because they can't let that group still run this sport. But I don't think this is terrible. I don't think we're in a spot right now where people are like, oh, man, I can't believe they're going to play Notre Dame, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. That stinks. It's like, actually, I think it'll be good. But I think maybe it could be better.
I do, too. And it feels like the first time in a long time that college athletics is not letting great be the enemy of good. It feels like college athletics for the first time went, this is something, this is good. I know we can improve it. We all know we can make it great. But, like, this is good. And we're willing to work with good for the time being. And that's the part of it that makes me really happy. Now, the part of it that I think they got to change, and I wanted to throw this out to you and watch your head spin. I think we need to get rid of the winter transfer portal, and I think we need to make all of it the spring. I think we need to have these guys lock in for a full year, because right now what's happening is something that could be so exciting for your sport and something that your fan base wants to dig their teeth into and really get into is happening at the same time that you're playing all of your bowl games, your championship games, and all of that in between, and you got the coaching carousel mostly done because of the transfer portal and the way it's going. I wonder, Doug, if we need to tell these players that you are to transfer out and hit the portal in May, and you are to lock in for the full year. And the reason that I think that is, A, you can spread it out. You'll get more TV money out of it because you'll be talking college football all over the place, and you can get all of that excitement that comes with it. And if you're a coach and you can't get your team prepared for a game in 4 months, dude, that's a you problem. Like that. At least I continue to look at this, and it's like, if you can't get it together in 4 months, that's on you. You should be able to coach a game plan with these guys. What do you think of moving the portal to May?
So everybody wants the players in for spring football, right? So they want, that's why they want them to move now. So, and it's hard if you know that you're going to leave your team, but your team's having spring football practice in March. Are you but you don't want to be rusty. So I agree with you. They've got to switch this. Like you were saying, it's like if the NFL had the draft, free agency, and the playoffs all at the same time. It's insane. They do have academic calendars to try to work around. I've seen people suggest maybe what you need to do is sort of get rid of spring football and make it summer football, or do something that you reduce the impetus to get those guys to their teams by January, because that's when classes start. And if you're not enrolled in classes, you can't take part in spring football. So, this is crazy. And to have players, for instance, Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback at Penn State, left the team because he felt like, I need to go find my new team in the portal, and I can't prepare for a playoff game while I'm doing that. Like, that's crazy to be losing guys off your roster at the most important time of the year. It's the academics, man. It's these classes. If only guys didn't have to go to class, we could figure this out.
Well, and that's my whole thing with May, is at least if you go late May, you should be done with finals by late May.
Yeah.
In which case, and even if you did it over Memorial Day weekend, you know, open the portal on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend and just dominate that whole weekend, I think you're then onto something. Because what happens every year on top of it is we get to August, maybe even July, and everybody basically has to go, wait, who hopped in the portal? Who's still here?
Yeah.
Because we're just in the middle of this whirlwind. It's almost like exactly what took place all of a day ago, which is you go through this 72-hour whirlwind of presents and food and all that stuff, and then you get done and you end up looking at each other and going, wait, what did I get for Christmas? What happened here? Like, I feel like that's what we're in the middle
of. Did I get a left tackle for Christmas?
Wait, exactly.
Somebody came in and stole my backup receiver. So, It needs to be better than this. It's just odd that we went from players having no rights in college football to it feels like you have to be able to leave your team at any moment and get any amount of money you want from anybody at any time, right? It's constant free agency as opposed to you can't transfer without sitting out a year. So it was too far one way. This is better, but it's too far the other way. But you can't figure this stuff out if you don't collectively bargain with the players, and they don't want to do that. So, like, if you could sit down and say, we're going to make a schedule, you give us this, we give you that, I think there's a solution out there, but then that gets toward employee status, and then the NCAA and the athletic departments don't want that. So, in the meantime, we're here. But the thing that I've always felt is the NCAA has dragged its feet through all of this, but maybe the chaos is what gets us to a solution. Because they don't want to be proactive, but it's like, well, this is nuts. We have to make it better than this. Okay, how do we do that? So it will eventually be better, but it is crazy to be setting your rosters for next year in the midst of the most important part of the schedule.
Doug LaMaurice joining us. Kings of the North is the show you can watch on YouTube Monday through Thursday. They do a post game on Saturday, React as well. It's a great watch. They also have it on podcast form as well. Love talking to Doug about all of this stuff. All right, I'm going to switch slight gears with you, but it's still going to be NIL. What did you make of Jim Larrañaga stepping down yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, these million-dollar coaches, like, you can cry me a river, tiny violins. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry that you're not totally in charge of everything the way you were 50 years ago. And the other thing is, if you are a head coach who is knee-deep in NIL negotiations constantly with agents and that kind of thing, like, you need help in your department. You need a director of operations who's helping you with that stuff. So it shouldn't be that a 70-year-old coach is the guy who's making every NIL deal. So, like, that's a failure by Miami if he felt like he got burned out by that. But, I mean, this whole generation, like, they had it great for a long time. And, by the way, maybe figure it out before the year. When did you figure it out? When you were Christmas shopping? Wait, I'm burned out. I can't do this anymore. Like, if a player quit in the middle of the year like that, we'd go nuts. So, like, you can miss me with all this stuff. I think it's stupid. And I'm sorry, coaches, that you are not millionaire dictators anymore. Get over yourself. This is the new world.
I could just see poor Jim Larranaga walking through, like, the toy aisle or something like that and seeing the miniature Fisher-Price basketball hoop and going, I can't do it. I'm done.
I can't.
This is too much.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you made a million-dollar life out of coaching a game, but now it's too stressful for you. Like, whatever, bro.
You're right, man. And it's the same thing that happens every time Saban puts a microphone in front of him and he just starts complaining about this. It's like, guys, I understand. You're heartbroken. You're not kings anymore. You now have checks on your power. This is the new reality of the world that you are living in. You have checks on your power. And it's going to be for the better of the game in the long term. And for teams like Miami that use the transfer portal to build that team and used NIL to build that team,
right?
Because it spread everything out to where Miami could have this basketball program. Like, it kind of feels like you're biting the hand that feeds you.
He was not a victim of NIL. He used NIL to make the Final Four and then was mad afterward when guys wanted to get paid. So, like, it just stuff changes. But also the idea that, like, well, I guess that's it. I guess college basketball's dead. Because Jim Larranaga is not going to coach it anymore. It's like, we'll be fine. I mean, everybody went nuts when Jay Wright quit. It was like, guess what? We still have college basketball, right? So if it's not for you, there will be somebody else who will happily take millions of dollars to coach your team.
We made it through Dean Smith. We made it through John Thompson. We made it through John Wooten.
Yeah.
We found a way. It took a little bit to get over it, but we found a way in all this. Doug, you're the man. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you doing this. It's good catching up with you.
Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Doug.